I just want you guys to consider things today about your purpose in life, because we all got problems. And my question is your purpose bigger than your problems today? Who does not have problems? Raise your hand. Okay, well, you know, life seems to hit the fan quite often, and we do live on earth. This isn't heaven. And I'm going to be going to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to talk about combat today, spiritual warfare that we are in. So as you're turning to Ephesians 6, I want to get to my last point, because a lot of you guys are going to get bored with me, so I like to get to the end of my message at the beginning. I'm going to talk about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And this is the analogy used there in the weaponry for combat, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, or living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. You know, in the day of the warfare in Ephesians 6, this was the state-of-the-art weapon. Do you realize that? I mean, I pulled this out. Nobody got scared, right? Now, if I pulled my Glock out today and aimed it, you go, ah, what's that? You know, because we know there's some serious damage. But swords, it's like, oh, come on. Sharper than any double-edged sword. And this is just a sword for shows. It's not a real one. If it was a real sword of the day, a double-edged sword, if it went like this, it would lay my arm open, wouldn't it? But thankfully, it's just a ceremonial sword. And what it says in Hebrews here about the sword is it's sharper than any double-edged sword. The Word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword. Penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The main point I want to make today, in case you do get bored, is to be able to be quick to pull out the Word of God, point it, and use it. Just use the Word of God. It is so powerful. We're not smart enough to know how it works, but somehow God uses His Word, empowered with the Holy Spirit, to touch lives. He uses it to touch our own lives, to help us to become conformed to His image. And today, as we open the Word, that's the other half of the application, is let the Word of God penetrate your heart and let it change your heart today. And I just pray that that happens today. I want Him to get tons of glory out of what happens here the next half an hour while I'm up here babbling, that you could hear the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit to touch your hearts, encourage you, use something from the Word today. So let's crack it open here, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And one of the main points to just start out at the beginning here is the fact that no matter how strong or how tough we are, we all run out someday, you know, and our strength needs to come from the Lord. And as we're going through life here on earth, which isn't heaven, we need God's mighty power and His strength to bring us through all this. And this is just one of the keys of the Christian life and victory. Whatever you're looking to maybe overcome addictions or just whatever, legal or illegal addictions, we all go to other sources than God, and then things kind of wear out, leave us weak, leave us discouraged, leave us wondering what life's about sometimes. And that's where the strength of the Lord comes in, His mighty power, that we can just connect to Him and let His life infuse our life with His very own power in life to help us with life. The mighty power that comes from God, and putting on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I think so often, well, I know us who are born again, sometimes we just kind of sit in the easy chair in the spiritual combat. Even though the combat's going on, the warfare's out there, the gospel needs to be advanced. God looks to use people like us. The devil's schemes, one of them is to just have us say, yeah, but. So I want you to think about your yeah buts today. You know, it's like, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You shall be my witnesses here in Port Washington, Ozaukee County, Wisconsin, United States, the world. You shall be my witnesses. It's like, I hope you guys do, because I do. It's like, yeah, you read scripture. It's like, wow, I'm supposed to be God's appointed witness to the world. And then you line it up with, yeah, but. You know, yeah, but. We kind of hit those yeah, buts on so many scriptures. And it's just because we fall into the worldly ways and the devil's schemes, and the devil is out to just put us Christians to sleep. The best thing to do for Christians is have a nice, comfortable church like we have, nice, comfortable chairs, and just kind of go, dear, just take a nap. Spiritually, just take a nap, you know. Don't be crazy, radical. People will think you're a Jesus freak. So one of the devil's schemes is to just put us to sleep and get a boring preacher up here, and you go, yeah, I can't wait till it's over. No football game today, is there? Okay, well, you just kind of fall asleep. It's one of the devil's schemes. But the devil plays dirty, He does whatever he can to mess us up. And one of his major schemes is always deception. So the thing about deception is you don't know you are deceived until you learn some truth. And when you learn truth, then you understand that you're deceived. Because deceived is just that, part of the devil's schemes. I'm not going to go into all his schemes. But verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. This is sort of like a wake-up call. If we really believe what God wrote down here for us, because so often our struggles, we look at them at a horizontal level. Maybe the boss you have at work, or someone at school who's always picking on you, or people who are just mean to you, or just a disease that God has chosen to give you, or whatever it is. So often we look at it horizontal, like it's all just circumstances. But to realize that the battle truly is spiritual, it's a vertical battle. And the first time I ever read this verse in my life, the analogy God gave me was this spiritual wickedness in high places. It's like He took the lid off the garbage can, and you can stick your head in and go, man, does this reek? Well, the wickedness in high places is there, and it's like uncovered because of the Word of God. Folks, there's so much warfare going on just for our very existence, that God wants us to be effective in the lives of people, and the devil wants us to not be effective. That's how simple it is. We get distracted so much as Christians, and then the trials that come to our life, we take them at face value instead of the fact that God brings us trials to strengthen us, to equip us better for battle, so that we can be more used by God to touch the lives of others. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So if there really is a battle, we need our armor. You wouldn't run out to battle in your underwear or anything, would you? I mean, that'd be crazy. And soldiers, when we equip people for true battle, you've got to have the armor. You've got to have the defensive and the offensive weapons. That's just part of battle. And this section here, I'm just praying the Holy Spirit just really wakens us up to the battle that we're in and the armor that we need to put on daily. Is anybody here an active soldier, veterans? I know we got some vets in here. Thanks. I see you have 14 servicemen and women on the backboard that you pray for. Folks, battle is real. You get hurt in battle. You can die in battle. You need your armor to go out into it. And then somehow we just need a wake up now and then that we are in spiritual warfare. And we've all got areas of battles that God has brought us into. So we need to be equipped for the battle. First of all, so that you're not taken out. But second of all, so that you can advance the gospel. That's what the battle's about, to advance truth. Truth of the Word of God. It's like, charge! Bring the truth on! Bring it on! Bring it out there! But we need our defensive weapons of defense, which we're going to get into here. Let me just get rolling on the defensive parts. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when a day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand. And after you have done everything, to stand. What I love about this section here, folks, is us as Christians so much, we're scared sometimes. They're like politically correct trash. Ways of the world, trash. All these things that we're afraid to even take a stand and say something like a marriage is for a man and a woman. The unborn child is a life. Simple things like that. Take a stand. There is right and wrong. The world and all of its schemes and the devil is dragging us away from truth. The number one thing has always been deception by the devil, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Beautiful life. Deception moved in. Eve was deceived. and she made the wrong choice. Well, to this day, the enemy has not gotten any older or dumber. He's out to deceive us, folks. Take a stand for the truth. We're the people of God. Isn't it awesome that God decides to use plain old people like us to take a stand for the truth? It's just that simple. We don't need to say, yeah, but, or like, yeah, but you're just an ADD preacher, had too much coffee today. It'll go away. You know, settle down. It's like, no, we need to stand up for what's right and wrong, folks. We're the people of God. We're in the army of the good guys. And guess who wins the battle? We do. We end up in heaven. We are on the winning side. So let's be strong and take our stand today. Let me encourage you guys. Vote. Vote for what's right and wrong. Oh, we can't talk about politics in church. Baloney. We sure can. There still is right and wrong, and you guys have the opportunity to vote. If you're not registered to vote, vote. Say, well, what's one vote? Well, when Christians go to the polls, things get changed. And you know what? Only a fourth of the Christians go to the polls, too. Isn't that sad? So go to the polls. Vote for what you believe is right and wrong. You can affect the future of this nation. And it's okay to talk about that in church. Don't be afraid of that. They're still right and wrong, and we have the power to vote, and we need to do that. And I'm not running for office, so it's okay. Our struggle is not against the flesh and blood. I want you guys to remember that. Look through the trials of life. Look through the media and say, you know what? The devil is out there looking to who he can devour. It's an active warfare we're in. You've got to have your armor on, the full armor, so that when a day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. This is where it all starts, is the first thing you need to understand is we need truth. We need truth continually. It's the devil's enemy is truth. He loves deception. We need truth. We find truth in the Word of God. And in the armor, it goes on first. A good friend of mine is a SWAT, who's State Highway Patrol. He's a SWAT guy and he's a SWAT instructor. And the first thing they put on is that Kevlar vest. And on that hangs all their other armor. But the truth is the first thing that the Roman soldier put on. It was the belt of truth. The armor hangs on truth. Without truth, all your armor just falls off. And remember, truth is the number one thing that the devil wants to erode out of your lives. He wants you not to be putting yourself, the disciplines of putting yourself where you're going to understand truth of the Word of God. Whether it's sitting alone, spending time in the Word of God, coming here to a good Bible teaching church, listening to truth on the radio, getting together with other believers and reminding each other that, yeah, this is true. The world is crazy and going down the tubes, but this is true. And the Word of God, this is the rock we're going to continue to build our lives on. We've got to have truth. It's not variable. I like to think of that a lot. I do a lot of construction. And you know what? We use measuring tapes. Who else does construction in here? Okay. You can't say, you're up on the roof, hey, throw me up a rafter, 10'2" at a 412 pitch. And I throw you up a rafter and it's 4 feet long. And you go, what the heck is this? I said, well, I feel like it's okay. Do you feel like it's okay? Well, I feel like it. Okay. Whatever you believe, as long as you believe with all your heart, it's okay. Like baloney. There is a standard measure. The truth of the Word of God. We believe in standards. We count on them. And that's what the Word of God is. The belt of truth. Put the truth on. Don't let anybody keep you from the truth of the Word of God. Feast on it. So you know what's right and what's wrong. And you're convinced because it's the very heart and mind of God Himself. This isn't just what we believe. It's what God put in His Bible for us to live by. The belt of truth, that's got to go on first. And this breastplate of righteousness in place. This means a lot of different things. First of all, we're declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh yeah, this message is for born-again believers. And if you're not a believer, and you're still kind of searching, what's this Christian thing about? It's really pretty simple. God is really good, and we are really bad. That's pretty simple. He's holy, without sin. He's the Creator. We're the created. Created in His divine image, so we can have a relationship with Him. But guess what? Every one of us in this room have sinned, and will sin. Every single one of us. So we got this situation. We got a good God and bad man. So we got a problem that needs to get solved. No matter how good we try to be, we can never be good enough to hang out with God because He's absolutely perfectly holy. And so, thank God, He sent the solution. He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that if we believe that Christ died for us, we're right with God because of what Christ did. That's the gospel. It's pretty simple. My ADD gospel goes like this. God's good, you're bad. Jesus died to pay for your sins. Do you believe it or reject it? It's just that simple. This is the truth that needs to be out there, and we're declared righteous when we believe in Jesus Christ. God looks at us now as His son and daughters. We're born again, we're in the family of God. But here in the context of the believers too, the breastplate of righteousness means guard your heart, live righteous, live clean, and live pure. Yes, you're going to sin. Confess it. Get back walking in the light with God. That's what righteousness is about. How many times I've lost a fight, me personally. I've lost a battle because I've given my heart over to sin. Something shiny out there gets my attention. I go that way. And I'm in it. I'm in the sin. And it's like, oh, you lose all the power. Your heart is divided. The breastplate of righteousness guards your heart so that you are men and women after God's own heart. An undivided heart. It comes from living righteous. And maybe today you're feeling some guilt about something. And you are a child of God. Man, just get it right with God. Get your heart on track with God. The breastplate of righteousness. Live righteous. You know, we start dabbling in sin or dabbling in the dark areas. It's like we lose that personal righteousness, that walking in the light with God. It's simply renewed by confessing your sin. Agree with God that it's sin and you're back in the fight. That breastplate of righteousness. We need to realize that even though we are born-again Christians, we still need to be walking in the light with Him and enjoying His fellowship. Like I said, sometimes we get drawn off by something shiny, something that seems better than God, and I go there. And every one of us has done that. And you know what? We're probably going to do it again as His kids. But He welcomes us back. Breastplate of righteousness, an undivided heart. Just consider that to protect your heart. Guard your heart, because out of your heart is the wellspring of life. That breastplate of righteousness, right living, the disciplines and the desires to walk in step with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Breastplate of righteousness. And the next one, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Feet ready to move out with the gospel, to advance with the gospel. Remember, this is combat, this is warfare. Whenever we advance with the gospel, we pull out the Word of God, and the Word of God is used by the power of God to get someone born again. They're on our side now. They're going to heaven. The devil lost. There was a victory because we used the Word of God to advance the gospel. Every single one of us has got opportunities and places to advance the gospel. Just remember that. The battle's for all of us. Please, don't put that "yeah, but" in there. There's no room for "yeah, buts" in Scripture. It's very simple. We need to be feet ready, moving out with the gospel of peace. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the Scripture here. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How often the flaming arrows come at us. And again, I want to remind you guys, this was high-tech technology in the day, a flaming arrow. You think, oh, big deal. Well, now we got computer-guided missiles that can blow a thumbtack out of the middle of someone's house, shot over here from the other side of the world. We've got such high-tech stuff now. You think flaming arrows? Yeah, whatever. Well, this was cutting-edge technology in the day, to be able to lob an arrow over the wall and get someone's house on fire, or stick a flaming arrow into somebody. That was really high-tech technology, weapons of destruction in those days. And you know what? The devil's really good. He throws these arrows at every single one of us. And you know what? The arrows, they're still laced with deceit. That's still his number one weapon. He'll shoot an arrow at you and say, yeah, how could God love you? You know how bad you've been. Or he shoots an arrow at you and say, man, you know, I've got all these problems. God must be mad at me. Or he shoots an arrow at you and just says, well, how could I possibly be God's kid because I sin? Shoots an arrow at you saying, yeah, spreading the gospel is for those superstars. Yeah, but I'm just a plain old, barely saved person. I don't know my Bible. just continual arrows, arrows of doubt, arrows of insecurity, arrows of insignificance. The devil would just love us to think opposite of the truth. And the truth is, you and I are made in the image and likeness of God, and we get to hang out with God, a living relationship. That's what the shield of faith is. By faith, we are going to believe that what God says is true. And every time the flaming arrow comes at you, it's like, nope, that's wrong. And you block it with the shield of faith. Faith in God alone and in the power of God and His truth. Isn't that simple, guys? It's just so simple, this stuff. We make Christianity so complicated. It's not supposed to be. Even I can understand this stuff. It's simple. The arrows, the flaming darts are coming at us. Pick up the shield of faith. Don't let it take you out. You've got your armor on. And the last piece of the defensive is the helmet of salvation. The simple way I like to put this together is, I know I'm going to heaven. God's going to take care of me. That keeps my head together. You know? Keep your head on that track. No matter how bad life gets here on earth, you're going to heaven if you're born again. Keep that helmet on. Say, yeah, but you know, we don't get to pick how we're going to die, when we're going to die. But you know what? If you're born again, you know you're going to heaven, folks. And the way I like to say this, this life down here is like a motel room. Like, how long do you stay in a motel room? Just for a little while. You don't decorate it and say, oh, honey, I think we ought to put new curtains up in here. What do you think? I don't like the color either. It's like, dude, we're in a motel room. We're not going to fix it up. Well, that's what life on earth is. Compared to eternity, this is just a stop off. We're just sojourners. We're passing through. This world is not our home. We're looking for a far better place. And that's our home. The helmet, the hope, the knowledge, the confidence of salvation. Isn't it great, guys? No matter how it ends up here, man, we're going to be together forever. And we're going to be with Jesus Christ. That's a fact. If you believe that Christ died on the cross, your home is heaven. And that's what I believe, and that's where I'm headed. This stuff is so simple, guys. One of the devil's schemes, too, is to just complicate it. To make Scripture something, well, we really can't understand that. This is simple stuff, the hope of salvation. And pray, verse 18, in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is probably the most important thing, and the older I get and the longer that I'm in ministries of different types and everything, the more I'm starting to realize that, man, on my knees, that's where the power is, guys. On your knees before the Lord and say, God, you've got to do this. I'm following you. Like the song we sang, God, go before me on this thing. Take care of this. I'm right next to you, but if you're not moving and protecting and working in the hearts of people, nothing's happening. It's got to be prayer, folks. This is what unleashes God's will and His power in things, is prayer. Total dependence that I am following the Lord. And I'm literally on my knees. And I'm not trying to be legalistic, but if you can get on your knees when you're praying, when nobody's watching, do it, man. Just get on your knees before God and bring your request to Him. And it says here, praying for all the saints. This is one of those things that us in America, we don't do enough of, and that is to live and work and hurt together as the body of Christ. Right here, this body of believers, the people in this church together. We go to battle together. And these shields in those days, tradition has it, they would interlock with each other so that the soldiers could move ahead together. How much more protection there is in that. How much more protection when we understand what the body life is. We need each other, folks. We are in such a stinking independent country. Everything we do in this country, guess what? You can do it by yourself with some gadget. Did you ever think about that? There's a gadget made for everything that you need to do so that you can do it yourself. You hardly need other people. We used to live in Indonesia. You do everything together because you need each other. That's how civilization is supposed to be. Well, we've got so independent here because of all of our improvements and upgrades, we do everything alone. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but so often we don't even hang out together. We just hang out in a digital world. You know, we need each other, folks. Pray for each other so that we can go through the trials and temptations of life together We can go through births and deaths and sickness and health. We can go through this all together, advancing the gospel, because we're His kids and we need to get along and work together here to advance the kingdom of God while we're here on earth, praying for all the saints. And I love how Paul focuses this prayer down in verse 19. He says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. There's his purpose. But you think, now wait a minute, Paul, you know, he's the superstar and everything, and he probably didn't have the problems I have. But wait a minute, what's the rest of this? Verse 20, it says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I want you guys to just think about this. What's Paul's situation? He's in chains. He's in jail. What's he asking prayer for? I do jail ministry a lot. Guess what everybody in jail asks for? Guess. You can say it. Get me out of jail. What's Paul asking prayer for? That I can declare the gospel. Because he sees himself as an ambassador in chains. So I'd like you guys to think about this. What's your yeah but today? What's your chains? Honestly, I want you to consider that. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. What's your chains today? You're thinking, well, yeah, this is all kind of good, but this is kind of radical. And you don't understand. I'm in a place in life where I'm... Or when I get to there, I will be one of those radical people who pull out the Word of God and use it. But right now, I'm... Well, here's Paul. What's your excuse? I mean, Paul is chained up at this time, and his prayer is that he advances the gospel. Not that the chains would be dropped. And as soon as he gets out of jail, and by the way, I hear this all the time. Man, as soon as I get out of jail, I'm coming to your church. I'm going to start living for God. Rah, 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 as soon as I get out of jail. And typically they come to my church one or two times, and then I never see them again. But you know, when you're in the chains, you think, well, if I was out of here, I'd be super. I want to encourage you guys. Don't think about, yeah, when a circumstance changes, you're going to be advancing the gospel. Look at Paul. He's calling himself an ambassador in chains. One thing really cool about ambassadors is they don't live in their home country. They're on foreign soil. Does that sound familiar? Folks, this isn't our home. Remember, it's a motel room. We're an ambassador in chains. We are to be relating the message and, you might say, the laws or the policy of our home country, which is heaven, where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our home country. We are ambassadors in chains. It's just that simple. There's some really good scripture on this. I'm not going to turn there now. In Corinthians, where it charges us with the ministry of reconciliation. And it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So this isn't for those who are ordained only, or those who think they're some great preacher. This is for all of us. Every single one of us. We can represent Jesus Christ to our mission field. And I'm not done speaking yet, but we're going to sing that song over again. I want you guys, when we get to that follow you, to really make those words a reflection. Sing along if you know the words. But the words are exactly like a closure and a reflection on what I'm talking about today. Because when I want to encourage you guys to be ambassadors, to be able to pull out the Word of God wherever you can, and that you know maybe just a little bit of it by heart, so that you can speak truth just as easily as you can pull the sword out of the sheath. I think so many of us Christians, you know, we've got our Bibles, and I've got these versions and these study guides, and I did this, blah, 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 and it's sitting at home, dusty on the shelf. Or when we get in public, it's like, well, it's not appropriate to pull the Word of God out here. It's not appropriate. It is, folks. It's the Word of God, and it's the power of God. I have an example for that. I was working at this business, there was at least 100 employees there, and they were all starting to tag me as weird. Can you imagine that? Me, weird. Yeah, I know, I am. And they'd call me Rev or Jungle Jim, is what they were calling me, making all kinds of fun out of me, you know. And it's like, By the way, you know what? Don't be afraid to be weird for Christ, because you're already weird anyway. I mean, someone thinks you're weird about something, so you might as well be identified with our Savior. Anyway, these guys were picking on me one day, and and one of them made the statement and the challenge. You know, he said, "Where do you get this stuff?" And I says, "Well, it's simple. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God." And this big mouth, he's the owner's kid, you know, so he can be the big mouth. And you know how owner's kids are at businesses, typically, not always. He's shooting his mouth off at me, gaining all these guys behind him. I just felt like I was in a gang of bullies, you know, they're all behind him. Yeah, and they're just like trying to make fun out of me and everything. And you know what, folks, I just got to tell you, Christ in me, I was just standing firm. I'm just listening to these guys. I'm looking at them with the eyes of Christ, seeing sheep without a shepherd. I have compassion for these guys. Even though they're picking on me, using every swear word they can, you know, everything you can imagine. They're just picking on me. And I'm just standing there. I was feeling very confident in the Lord. And then here was my opening line. One of them says, "You get that from the Bible, huh?" "Yeah, yeah, I do." And he says, "Well, nobody can understand the Bible. It's very complicated. You know, you can't really go basing your life on that book. It's very mysterious." And I just said, "Yeah, you know, you're right. So let me give you guys a test. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Can anybody understand that, or is it too complicated?" You know, and he was like, I said, "Let me give you another test. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Too complicated for you guys?" And there was just like this silence. It was like, why? Not that I'm that smart, guys. I pulled out the Word of God. And the Word of God penetrates and shuts their mouths too, by the way. They just stood there. And later, at that job, one of the big mouths, not this same one, wiped out on his motorcycle, drunk all by himself one night, dead. And so now everyone's like, "Ooh, we better listen to Jim, because this guy was obviously the opponent to me." And I didn't purposely do that. God was working. But my point is, I was using the Word of God, and now everyone was kind of scared of me. Not that they should be, but they knew that I was standing for what was right. And I'm glad to say some of those guys got born again there. You know, and these are the guys in the lunchroom, all they could talk about is swear words and the women they had last night, or the imagination of the women they had last night. I don't know. They're doing whatever they could to try to get rid of me. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what, no matter where I am an ambassador, and I want to pull out the Word of God for people. And it goes the same for born-again believers. Let's serve the Word of God in love to encourage one another. The Word of God is powerful, and it penetrates. Ambassador in chains. I want you to remove the chains and all your yeah buts today. God has chosen a field for every single one of us. Every single one of you has got some circle of impact. I want you to consider using the Word of God. Have your armor on. Go out and love people into the kingdom of God. We don't get to choose our field, but we all have a field to work in. I was so blessed yesterday to visit Bob and Mary Ann, Bob Carls. And they've got a field they didn't choose. That home that Bob's in, that's their field, right, Mary Ann? And they are advancing truth and God's love in that home where Bob is right now. You don't get to pick your field sometime, guys, but we all have a field. That's my point. Wherever you're at, you can be that ambassador. Because God has chosen to use us to advance the gospel. In Corinthians, it talks about not many noble, not many fancy people. I'm putting my own word in there. None of us really that prestigious. God has chosen the foolish things of the world, us, to confound the wise. I think of us as we're not the purebreds that someone spent $2,000 to get. We're the pound puppies, you know, that we're just like, "Hey, here I am, dumb and happy, but hey, use me, God." And God says, "Yes, I'm going to pick that puppy, and I'm going to use that puppy to touch the world with the love of Jesus Christ." The normal people, like us mutts. Us mutts are the ones in the hand of God as we just use His Word and pull out the Word of God and touch some lives with the love and the truth of the Word of God as we advance the gospel wherever, whenever God gives us the opportunity to do it. So often I know us missionary geeks, we come here and talk about the end, the other side of the world, like wrongly so, like it's more important in this side of the world. That's wrong. Folks, people are dying and going to hell here in Port Washington. People right here need to know this stuff. It's for the whole world. And you get to get in on the battle. Isn't that awesome? Every one of us, in on the battle. Wherever the field is, that's where we work. With the boldness and the faith and the confidence that God is going to go before us. And we don't have to go alone in this. That's one reason I wanted these guys to sing that song again about Follow You. Because the confidence, the fact that you don't go into battle alone, folks. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow Him everywhere. He's our shepherd. We're just dumb little sheep following Daddy, doing what He told us to do. And He blesses it. And you know what? A lot of times you pull out the Word of God and you say something, everyone makes fun of you, and you think, oh, that was a waste of time. Uh-uh. Holy Spirit dropped a seed in there, didn't He? Nobody can argue with your life story and your confidence in Christ. People can argue with the Word of God, but you know what? It's powerful. The Holy Spirit uses it. We just follow Him. And the chorus of this song is, we follow Him into the homes of the broken. We follow Him into the world. What's your field today, folks? Just enjoy it and be part of it. I get the feeling sometimes it's just like Daddy lets us help. Even though we screw it up so much, Daddy lets us help in advancing the kingdom. How many of you guys in here have taught your kids how to wash dishes? Hopefully some of you have. Of course, everyone's got dishwashers now. Okay. Or to do the laundry. Well, we can't let them do the laundry. They're going to screw it up. They'll put the whites with the darks. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, I've also mentored many people in the construction skills and everything. But you know what? When you're teaching someone or someone's not as good as you, they screw up a lot of things. But you know what? You want them to learn. You want them to get in on what you're doing, don't you? And it's hard to train people sometime or trust what you're so good at into the hands of somebody else. But you know what? That's what God does with us. He could do this way better than us, couldn't He? But He loves us so much. He wants to give us that purpose bigger than our problems. God wants to let us in on what He's doing. We get to help. Even though we're going to screw it up, that's okay. God wants us to help Him in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. To have that personal victory in our lives because we've got the armor on. Our purpose is now bigger than our problems. Because this world is full of problems. But is your purpose bigger than your problems? I got about 2 minutes. I'm going to have the praise band come back. I had a special request for them to do that one song again. And when they do this song, make it a meditation, kind of a reflection, a closure. If you don't know the song, read the words. But make it a prayer of your heart. It's a beautiful song only because it's based on truth. And it's a powerful song about what Christ did for us. Let's do something for Him. So praise band, can you guys come on back up?